The Ring and the Book by Robert Browning, Book 7, Part 3. Thus, when he blamed me, "You are a coquette, a lure owl posturing to attract birds. You look lovelers at theater and church, in walk, at window." That I knew was false. But why he charged me falsely, whither sought to drive me by such charge? How could I know? So, unaware, I only made things worse. I tried to soothe him by abjuring walk, window, church, theater, for good and all, as if he had been in earnest. That, you know, was nothing like the object of his charge. Yes, when I got my maid to supplicate the priest, whose name she read when she would read those feigned false letters I was forced to hear, though I could read no word of, he should cease writing. Nay, if he minded prayer of mine, cease from so much as even pass the street whereon our house looked. In my ignorance, I was just thwarting Guido's true intent, which was to bring about a wicked change of sport to earnest, tempt a thoughtless man to write indeed, and pass the house, and more, till both of us were taken in a crime. He ought not to have wished me thus act lies, simulate folly. But, wrong or right, the wish, I failed to apprehend its drift. How plain it follows, if I fell into such fault, he also may have overreached the mark, made mistake, by perversity of brain. In the whole sad strange plot, this same intrigue to make me and my friend unself ourselves, be other man and woman than we were. Think it out, you who have the time. For me, I cannot say less. More, I will not say. Leave it to God to cover and undo. Only, my dullness should not prove too much, nor prove that in a certain other point wherein my husband blamed me, and you blame, if I interpret smiles and shakes of head, I was dull too. Oh, if I dared but speak! Must I speak? I am blamed that I forwent a way to make my husband's favor come. That is true. I was firm, withstood, refused. Women as you are, how can I find the words? I felt there was just one thing Guido claimed. I had no right to give, nor he to take. We being in estrangement soul from soul. Till, when I sought help, the archbishop smiled, inquiring into privacies of life, said I was blamable. He stands for God, nowise entitled to exemption there. Then I obeyed, as surely had obeyed, were the injunction, since your husband bids, swallow the burning coal he offers you. But I did wrong, and he gave wrong advice, though he were thrice archbishop. That I know. Now I have got to die, and see things clear. Remember, I was barely 12 years old, a child at marriage. I was let alone for weeks, I told you, lived my child life still, even at Arezzo, when I woke and found first... But I need not think of that again. Over and ended. Try and take the sense of what I signify, if it must be so. After the first, my husband, for hate's sake, said one eve, when the simpler cruelty seemed somewhat dull at edge and fit to bear, "We have been man and wife 6 months almost. How long is this your comedy to last? Go this night to my chamber, not your own." At which word I did rush, most true the charge, and gained the archbishop's house. He stands for God, and fall upon my knees, and clasp his feet, praying him hinder what my estranged soul refused to bear, though patient of the rest. Place me within a convent, I implored. Let me henceforward lead the virgin life you praise in her you bid me imitate. What did he answer? Folly of ignorance. No, daughter, circumstances make or mar virginity. 'Tis virtue or 'tis vice. That which was glory in the Mother of God had been, for instance, damnable in Eve, had Eve been created to be mother of mankind, had Eve in answer to her Maker's speech, be fruitful, multiply, replenish earth, pouted, but I choose rather to remain single, why, she had spared herself forthwith further probation by the apple and snake, been pushed straight out of paradise. For see, if motherhood be qualified impure, I catch you making God command Eve sin. A blasphemy so like these Molinists, I must suspect you dip into their books. Then he pursued, 'Twas in your covenant. No, there my husband never used deceit. He never did by speech nor act imply, because of our soul's yearning that we meet and mix in soul through flesh, which yours and mine wear and impress and make their visible selves. All which means, for the love of you and me, let us become one flesh, being one soul. He only stipulated for the wealth, honest so far. But when he spoke as plain, dreadfully honest also, since our souls stand each from each, a whole world's width between, give me the fleshy vesture I can reach, and rend, and leave just fit for hell to burn. Why, in God's name, for Guido's soul's own sake, imperiled by polluting mine, I say, I did resist. Would I had overcome. My heart died out at the archbishop's smile. It seemed so stale and worn away of the world, as though 'twere nature frowning. Here is spring. The sun shines as he shone at Adam's fall. The earth requires that warmth reach everywhere. What, must your patch of snow be saved, forsooth, because you rather fancy snow than flowers? Something in this style he began with me. Last, he said, savagely for a good man. This explains why you call your husband harsh. Harsh to you, harsh to whom you love. God's bread! The poor count has to manage a mere child whose parents leave untaught the simplest things their duty was and privilege to teach. Good wife's instruction, gossip's lore. They laugh and leave the count the task, or leave it me. Then I resolved to tell a frightful thing. I am not ignorant. Know what I say, declaring this is sought for hate, not love. Sir, you may hear things like Almighty God. Tell you that my housemate, yes, the priest, my husband's brother, Canon Girolamo, has taught me what depraved and misnamed love means, and what outward signs denote the sin. For he solicits me, and says he loves, the idle young priest with naught else to do. My husband sees this, knows this, and lets be. Is it your counsel I bear this beside? More scandal, and against a priest this time. What, 'tis the canon now? Less snappishly. Rise up, my child, for such a child you are. The rod were too advanced a punishment. Let's try the honeyed cake. A parable. without a parable spake he not to them. There was a ripe, round, long, black, toothsome fruit, even a flower fig, the prime boast of May. And to the tree said, either the spirit of the fig, or, if we bring in men, the gardener, archbishop of the orchard. Had I time to try of the two which fits in best, indeed it might be the creator's self, but then the tree should bear an apple, I suppose. Well, anyhow, one with authority said, ripe fig, burst skin, regale the fig-pecker, the bird whereof thou art a perquisite. Nay, with a flounce, replied the restive fig, I'm much prepared to keep my pulp myself. He may go breakfastless and dinnerless, supperless of one crimson seed for me. So back she flopped into her bunch of leaves. He flew off, left her, did the natural lord. And lo, 300,000 bees and wasps found her out, feasted on her to the shuck. Such gain the figs that gave its bird no bite. The moral? Fools elude their proper lot, tempt other fools, get ruined all alike. Therefore, go home, embrace your husband quick, which, if his canon brother choose to see, he will the sooner back to book again. So home I did go. So the worst befell. So I had proof the archbishop was just man, and hardly that, and certainly no more. For, miserable consequence to me, my husband's hatred waxed nor waned at all. His brother's boldness grew effrontery soon. And my last stay and comfort in myself was forced from me. Henceforth I looked to God only, nor cared my desecrated soul should have fair walls, gay windows for the world. God's glimmer that came through the ruin top was witness why all lights were quenched inside. Henceforth I asked God counsel, not mankind. So when I made the effort, saved myself, they said, no care to save appearance here. How cynic, when how one were enough. Adding it all came of my mother's life, my own real mother, whom I never knew, who did wrong, if she needs must have done wrong, through being all her life, not my 4 years, at mercy of the hateful. Every beast of the field was wont to break that fountain fence, trample the silver into mud so murk heaven could not find itself reflected there. Now they cry, out on her, who plashy pool, bequeathed turbidity and bitterness to the daughter stream where Guido dipped and drank. Well, since she had to bear this brand, let me. The rather do I understand her now, from my experience of what hate calls love. Much love might be in what their love called hate. If she sold, what they call sold, me, her child, I shall believe she hoped in her poor heart that I at least might try be good and pure, begin to live untempted, not go doomed and done with ere once found in fault, as she. Oh, and my mother, it all came to this. Why should I trust those that speak ill of you, when I mistrust who speaks even well of them? Why, since all bound to do me good did harm, may not you, seeming as you harmed me most, have meant to do most good, and feed your child from bramble bush, whom not one orchard tree but drew back bough from, nor let one fruit fall. This it was for, you sacrificed your babe? gain just this, giving your heart's hope away, as I might give mine, loving it as you, if... But that never could be asked of me. There, enough. I have my support again. Again, the knowledge that my babe was, is, will be, mine only. Him by death I give outright to God, without a further care, but not to any parent in the world. So, to be safe. Why is it we repine? What guardianship were safer, could we choose? All human plans and projects come to naught. My life and what I know of other lives prove that. No plan nor project. God shall care. And now, you are not tired? How patient, then, all of you. Oh, yes, patient this long while, listening, and understanding, I am sure. 4 days ago, when I was sound and well, and liked to live, no one would understand. People were kind, but smiled, and what of him, your friend whose tonsure the rich dark brown hides? There, there, your lover, do we dream he was? A priest, too. Was there never such naughtiness? Still, he thinks many a long think, never fear, after the shy, pale lady lay so light for a moment in his arms, the lucky one. And so on. Wherefore should I blame you much? So we are made, such difference in minds, such difference, too, in eyes that see the minds. That man you misinterpret and misprize, the glory of his nature I had thought shot itself out in white light, blazed the truth through every atom of his act with me. Yet where I point you through the crystal shrine, purity in quintessence, one dewdrop, you all descry a spider in the midst. One says, the head of it is plain to see, and one, they are the feet by which I judge. All say, those films were spun by nothing else. Then I must lay my babe away with God, nor think of him again with gratitude. Yes, my last breath shall wholly spend itself in one attempt more to disperse the stain, the mist from other breath fond mouths have made about a lustrous and pellucid soul, so that when I am gone, but sorrow stays, and people need assurance in their doubt, if God have yet a servant, man a friend, the weak a savior, and the vile a foe, let him be present by the name invoked. Giuseppe Maria Caponsacchi. There. Strength comes already with the utterance. I will remember once more for his sake the sorrow. For he lives and is belied. Could he be here, how he would speak for me. End of part 3 of book 7.